Well, I'll start off by saying good morning. Just got my voice back the other day, so please bear with me in the reading of the Word this morning. And even though I've had a couple of different gospel messages on my mind, the Lord seemed to have kept me in Luke chapter 23 and 24. So it only seems right to read Luke chapter 23 and 24 today with a few comments, but get organized here. Let's begin with a word of prayer, if we may. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for his willingness to go to the cross, to bear our sins, to take our punishment for us, that we may have eternal life through his sacrifice. We thank you for enabling us to read thy word today. Father, we ask you to bless the reading of thy word. We ask you to lead us all on by thy Holy Spirit. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Our first reading will be in Isaiah chapter 53. So we're gonna read in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3 through 7. Okay, Isaiah 53, verse 3 through 7. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Now let's read verse 9 through 12. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. So now may we turn to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. We're going to read the whole chapter. We're going to begin in verse 1 where Jesus goes before Pilate. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ a king." And Pilate asked him, saying, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And he answered him and said, "Thou sayest it." Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. And they were the more fierce, saying, He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. Okay, so he goes before Pilate. Now, what did he do wrong? What did Jesus do wrong? They said he was perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar. First of all, he never forbid to give tribute to Caesar. Now, you remember when they tried catching him in that little trap play there? They said, do you think it's lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? He said, show me a coin. They showed him a coin. He said, whose superscription is on that? And they said, Caesar's. He said, render to Caesar that which is Caesar's, and to God that which is God's. Now, the other time, when they came to Peter, and they said, do you think it's lawful to pay taxes to Caesar? Do you and your master pay taxes to Caesar? Jesus knew what was going on in that situation. Jesus told Peter to go catch a fish. And inside that fish's mouth, the first fish you catch, you'll find a coin. So Peter went and caught the fish, and he opened the fish's mouth, and he opened the mouth and pulled out a coin. Jesus told him, that's taxes for you and for me. So Jesus not only paid taxes for himself, but he paid for his disciples as well. So that is false. He opened not his mouth. But I am here telling you, I'm here opening my mouth saying he's not guilty of this accusation. But remember, he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Before the foundation of the world, God's plan was to sacrifice his son for our sins. Now, the other thing, they said he was perverting the nation. How? Stirring up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. Teaching. Now, we know Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So what was he teaching? He was teaching the right way. He was teaching the truth and eternal life. And I'm sure he stirred up a lot of people's conscience with this teaching, because you know, a lot of these people, most of these people had their own religious ways that they were doing for their whole lives. And then when they find out that the Son of God here manifesting in the flesh, telling them that it's wrong, what is right, here's what's right. Now I'm sure that stirred up a lot of people. And I can remember my dad telling me, the truth hurts, doesn't it? This gives a new meaning to the truth hurts. Continue on, verse 6. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him for a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and the scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod with his men of war set him at naught, which means they treated him with contempt, and mocked him, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers, said unto them, You have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man touching those things whereof you accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. For of necessity he must release unto them one at the feast. And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder was cast into prison. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, Why, what evil have ye done? I found no cause of death in him. Now look, the third time is I found no cause of death in him. So that's three times Pilate declared Jesus Christ innocent. Plus the one time from Herod. That's four times the Roman authorities have declared Christ innocent. Found no cause of death in him. You know, it's kind of like Jesus went through two forms of judicial system here. You got the Jewish judicial system where they're saying, crucify him, crucify him. And now he goes before the Roman judicial system where Pilate's getting the final word. Verse 23. And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voice of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence, that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him that for sedition and for murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but delivered Jesus to their will. Kind of sounds like what's still happening today, huh? Where the people are trying to kill Christ and promote the evil one. Still happening today. So Jesus gets his death sentence. Now we're going to go on the way. Now we're on the way to the place of crucifixion. Verse 26. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country. And on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. So he was to help Jesus carry the cross afterwards. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills cover us. Sounds like a pretty awful time ahead. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? Now that verse right there gets me thinking. That's like a little strange proverb that gets me thinking here, where Jesus is saying, if they do this in a green tree, what do you think they'll do in a dry? If they're gonna crucify a man that they declared innocent four times, what do you suppose they're gonna do if they find a man that's guilty in the future? Which kind of reminds me of today, thinking we see all the evil going on in this world and all the different things that's happened, the bad things, the murders and the dying and killing everybody. We're in the day of grace right now. How bad do you think it's going to be when the day of grace is over? When God's wrath starts coming down on the people? You think it's bad now? Picture all the people that are going to be left behind to face the wrath of God when the grace of God has been lifted off mankind. Because the word of God has to go through its cycle, and there's many cycles to come. And I'm thinking about the tribulation period that's going to come. So there's a lot to be worried about if you're not saved. Now we're on verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. Malefactor is just another name for a criminal, some sort of evildoer, one who broke the law in some way. They were going to be put to death too. And that's why sometimes I think when you see a picture of a cross, you'll see three crosses on a hill. Remember, he was numbered with the transgressors. He was crucified right in between two thieves. So there was three crosses that day when Christ was crucified. I have a track at home that says paid in full. It's got three crosses on it. Christ paid for our sins. Now we're going to read Jesus, how Jesus is crucified. Verse 33. When they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the male effectors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. We're going to see a couple of fulfilled prophecies happen in these little scriptures here. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Even as Christ's hands and his feet were being nailed to a cross to be put to death, he still had compassion on these people. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is one example of him making intercession for the transgressors. They parted his raiment and cast lots, fulfilled prophecy. Verse 35, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. Christ had no intention on saving himself. Matter of fact, he went out of his way to go to the cross that he may die for our sins, that we may have eternal life. So he had no intention on saving himself. His intention was to save us and everyone in this world. So the soldiers also mocked him and coming to him and offering him vinegar, which is from Psalm 69, I believe. Well, Psalm 69, I believe. And saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the king of the Jews. Now we're coming up to the repentant thief here. And now we know he's repentant because both in Matthew's gospel and in Mark's gospel, both people being put to death with him, railing on him. Matthew, I believe, says casting the same in his teeth. They're saying the same thing. They're railing on him. They're deriding, reviling him. Both Matthew and Mark's gospel. This is the only gospel here that has the conversion of this thief here. So with the comparison of gospels in mind, we're going to continue. Verse 39. And one of the male factors which hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, does not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds. But this man had done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now the repentant thief here, you see, you got one on each side. You got one, so they're both starting off reviling him, despising Christ. And yeah, if you're the Christ, save yourself and us. And then one of them, the one on the right, says, hey, don't you fear God, seeing you're in the same condemnation as he is, referring to Christ as God. And he looked at Jesus and said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. See, this repentant thief, he saw the justice of his own punishment. He saw the sinless character of Christ. He did nothing wrong. He saw the deity of Christ. And he also saw a living Christ beyond the grave, where Christ is the king of his kingdom. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom, Lord. Right then and there, he had a change of heart right there. A conversion went on through in his heart, which is a good example of Romans 10:9. You stay right there for a second. I just want to go to Romans and bring out a portion. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and through 13. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. See, he's confessing with his mouth what has already happened in his heart. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, or the Gentile at that matter. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That includes you. If you're not saved and you're here today, you call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, he will save you. So we're going to continue on now with the crucifixion here. Now we see verse 43. He says, verily, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. You will be saved today. You will be with me in paradise today, Jesus says. First, he has to die for our sins. Verse 44. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now these three dark hours points to the time when the Lord God the Father laid on his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the sins of us all. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. These three dark hours points to the travail of his soul. What are some of the verses Isaiah said? The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. They shall make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. How? Why? Because he poured out his soul unto death. This was the time that it points to Christ suffering for our sins, when he was bearing our judgment on the cross. Because then you look at the order of events here. It was the sixth hour, right about 12 noon. There was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour, right about 3 p.m. The sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. The veil of the temple. Now, the veil, which separated the holy place from the most holy place, was rent. It was torn from the top to the bottom, signifying this was an act of God. Now, the veil is a type of Christ's body, which signifies a new and living way for all believers into the very presence of God. Because there's no more sacrifice for sins. Now, you remember how they used to bring the blood into the most holy place for the sacrifice of sins? They killed an animal, they brought the blood into the most holy place. Well, now, since Christ was dying, died on the cross for our sins, he shed his blood. This is the blood of the new covenant. There's no more sacrifice for sins. Christ was the final sacrifice for sins. Christ has made an atonement for our sins. Now, verse 46, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, now with the comparison of Gospels in mind, Matthew says, when he cried again with a loud voice. Now we know from John's Gospel, he said, it is finished. So when Jesus cried, it is finished, after the judgment for our sins was laid upon Christ by God the Father, it is finished. Atonement for sin has been made. And he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he gave up the ghost. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Verse 47. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from afar off, beholding these things. Okay, so we know our reference verse here, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. The next verse will say that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So now let's read about the burial, verse 50. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the council in the deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. We know from John's gospel that Nicodemus also came with Joseph. Remember, he brought the myrrh and the aloes, about 100-pound weight. Very expensive ointment. And they took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never a man before was laid. This was an expensive tomb. This was a rich man's tomb here. With the rich in his death, he got a rich man's tomb. Verse 54. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the woman also which came with him from Galilee followed after, and beheld the sepulchre, and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments, and rested on the Sabbath day according to the commandment. So we have Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So now let's read chapter 24 and read about this glorious resurrection and his ascension back to heaven. Verse 1, chapter 24. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments, which appears to be two angelic beings. And as they were afraid, and they bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you while he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Notice that the devoted women were the first ones to learn about the resurrection of Christ. And they returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. So now we have two groups of people discussing what had just happened. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. So we have Peter going to the tomb and witnessing this empty tomb. Now he's wondering in himself what has happened. Verse 13, now we're coming to the two that went to the village of Emmaus. So two people out of these groups of people went to the village of Emmaus. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass, while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And their eyes were holden that they should not know him. So now we have these two walking to the village of Emmaus down this traveled road. It seems to be a pretty common traveling road where because now we have Jesus coming up walking with them, and they don't recognize him. So they're all walking to the same, they're all walking the same way. And they don't recognize Jesus at this point. So verse 17, Jesus said unto them, "What manner of communications are these that you have one to another, as you walk and are sad?" And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days?" So Jesus is walking with them like he doesn't know what's going on. So Jesus said unto them, "What things?" And they said unto him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth," not knowing that this is Jesus of Nazareth, "which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not the body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went unto the sepulcher, and found it even so as they had said, but him they saw not." So Jesus says to them in verse 25, "Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory?" Verse 27, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." We got to pause right here. One comment. This, now we have the living word of God reading to these people the written word of God. This is one Bible study you wouldn't want to miss. Verse 28, "And they drew nigh unto the village where they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them." So he made as though he was going to go further, but they wanted him to stay with them. So he decided to stay with them. Verse 30, "And it came to pass, as he sat down to eat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them." So Jesus takes the bread, he blessed it and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Well, this is a remarkable time in history. So as they're sitting down to eat, Jesus blessed the bread and gave thanks and gave to them. And all of a sudden, they knew who he was. And then he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, verse 32, "Did not our heart burn within us while he walked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. So now these two are going back to the group of people. They returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. So now we have these two going back to all these people, and they're saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and have appeared to Simon." And they told what things was done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and he saith unto them, "Peace be unto you." But they were terrified and frightened, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are you troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. So he's showing them his hands and his feet. They're probably looking at the scars in his hands and his feet. Look at seeing the scars where they crucified him. Now you handle me. And see, for a spirit have not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when they had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have you here any meat? You have anything to eat here? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of honeycomb. I'm not a big fish eater, but just a side comment. I'm not a big fish eater, but every time I see fish and a honeycomb, it always sounds good to me. And he said unto them, verse 44, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Verse 45, Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. This is a time of a life that they'll never forget. And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus is behold, Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, referring to the Holy Ghost. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with the power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Right before their eyes, they saw the resurrected Christ in the glorified body return to heaven as after he blessed them. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. Turn to John chapter 14, coming to a close, just a couple of verses. John chapter 14. Verse 1 through 3. Jesus says, Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. One more verse. Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Let's close in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy Son. We thank you for his great sacrifice on that cross, willing to go to the cross to bear our sins in his own body. Thank you, Father. Thank you for offering salvation to anyone here today. Thank you for the salvation we have. May you part us with thy blessing. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.